All right, we are on consecration to the Lord, Exodus 29 through 31. And we remember that Exodus is really God's story of redemption. We saw how he took Israel out of slavery into the wilderness and brought it to himself. And we know that it was there that he provided everything they needed. He provided water, food, even meat in the form of quail. He protected them from their enemies. And he gave them the covenant. The covenant actually had two pieces. The first was the Ten Commandments. And that's really the summary. And then the Book of the Covenant is the details of how that would be worked out. And the purpose of the covenant was to know how to live in right relationship with God and with one another. So after the people heard the covenant, what did they say? We will do everything. How many times? Three times. And so the covenant was sealed, and we know it was sealed in blood, and that was the sprinkling of the blood on the people. And now they're in a covenant relationship, and it's important to remember that covenant is relationship. It's for life, and to break it results in death. So God now is going to make a provision for them. So Moses was called back up the mountain, and he was shown the tabernacle of the Lord. And we thought that was fun because most of the Jewish commentaries felt that he actually physically walked through and talked about the various pieces. And we saw how all of the pieces now related to what the Messiah would eventually do. Next is the details of the priest's garments, because the tabernacle is where God will dwell, but the priests are the ones that will serve him. The priest is the one that represents the people to God. And we know that Aaron, with the high priest garments, had two onyx stones on his shoulders as he brings the very nation of Israel into the presence of the Lord. He also had the breastplate, which was the 12 gems, each one representing the 12 tribes. And that was over his heart. So Aaron, when he comes before the Lord, brings the nation of Israel on his shoulders and on his heart before the Lord. We also found out that the regular priests had garments that were unique and only used in the presence of the Lord. The high priest had six, and the regular priests had three. And there's very specific details, because you could only come into the presence of the Lord his way. To come in any other way is to say, I can do it myself. And so it was very important that they follow God's instructions carefully. The final instructions are for the sacrificial system, and we learned the definition of sacrifice last week. The Hebrew definition of sacrifice means to come close. And we thought that was interesting. The way they did it in the culture was blood sacrifices. And it's important to understand that this was taking place everywhere in the ancient world. They used sacrifices to come before their gods. Quite often it was people. And so what God is very specific saying, the blood atonement will be an animal that will be a substitute. No people are being offered up. It would be a temporary covering of sin, but this was God's gracious provision so that they could come into his presence and have relationship. So with all of that background now, it's time to talk about the consecration or the ordination of the priests and all the items that were to be holy. 29:1 begins, "This is what you are to do to consecrate the priests so they may serve before me." Now, this had never been done before because, again, we're just making a brand new nation. So God is very, very clear on how this is to be done. The purpose of the consecration was to show the people that God had chosen these particular men to be priests and that they, in turn, are devoting themselves to the service of the Lord. And then when they are anointed, it's the Lord's accepting their service And then the people were to honor and respect the position and the men that were holding this position. Now, we have to also understand that the pagans also did something similar to this for their priests, which is why there is so many details about this and how the Lord's priests are entirely different than the pagan ones. First mentioned are the sacrifices. Notice, what were the two animals sacrificed for the ordination? Bulls and rams. Interesting. Think back to Egypt. We didn't spend a lot of time, but what were some of the gods that they worshipped? Bulls and rams. So what is God doing by sacrificing a bull and ram? He is cutting more ties with Egypt, saying, it's not them. I am God. I created them. And it's their blood that will be used to consecrate my priests. The bull would be a sin offering to atone for the sins of the priests. The first ram would be a burnt offering, which was totally dedicated to the Lord, again, as a part of the consecration. And then the third offering was the second ram of ordination. And we talked about ordination. That means the filling of the hands to do the work of God. And it was interesting because it also mentioned that their offerings would be accompanied by bread, cake, and wafers without yeast and with oil. And this would be used to be the fellowship offering after everything was complete. And we know the fellowship offerings now we've seen was you have a meal in the presence of the Lord as an acceptance. And so this would represent the complete meal. It doesn't say it here, but also included would be the wine. If you think back to after the people had been sprinkled with the blood and God called the elders up on the mountain, they had this meal in the presence of the Lord because they had been accepted, and it included meat, it included the unleavened bread, and a drink, which would be the wine. So that would be a complete meal. And after the fellowship offering had been given, the priests would receive a portion of it. They would receive the breast and the thigh. Now, this isn't as important in the wilderness because God is providing all their food for them, right? They're getting manna every day, they're getting quail, they're getting water. But when they go into the promised land, what happens if the priests have to provide their own food? They can't serve the Lord. And so every fellowship offering that came, a portion of that belonged to the Lord and a portion of that belonged to the priests so they could focus fully on serving the Lord and teaching the people. And so this is the first time it's actually mentioned here in Exodus. Well, after the sacrifices, Aaron and his sons were to be washed, clothed, and anointed. And it's interesting because washing represents cleansing, clothing them. One of my leaders before was a costume designer for the theater. And if you go to my website, she put a whole article on clothing God. And it's interesting because what happens when an actor puts on a cloth? Maybe a unique gown or a tiara. What does it say?
They become someone.
It changes their identity. So in clothing the high priest in these garments, he is taking off the sin and he's being clothed in holiness and righteousness. That was the picture of what the clothing was. The anointing of special oil was very interesting because it was poured over Aaron's head. Think about it. Pouring out the oil. Does that sound like anything? What was God doing? What was he pouring out? I hear it. It's a picture of him pouring out his spirit on the ones he is called to serve him. And we find that when they are called by the Lord, when they are ordained, the spirit of the Lord in the Old Testament is upon them. And we're going to see that if we continue on with the Kings. But there is a difference between the Older Testament and the Newer Testament. What did David say in the Psalms? Take not your Holy Spirit from me, because he had seen that happen to Saul. The Lord had given Saul his spirit when he was anointed king, but when he disobeyed, God's spirit left. So that's a picture of pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the high priest for the job to which God had called him to. Then we return back to the sacrifices, understanding that Exodus is just instructions, so there isn't really an order to this. And we find that Aaron and his son must put their hands on the animal as it's being slain. And again, this is a picture. This animal is a substitute for my sin. His blood is being shed in place of my own. And it's interesting because what happens to the blood after the animal? It is poured out on the altar as giving the life back to the Lord. The second sacrifice was a ram, the same process. They put their hands on it, they slaughter it, but they did mention now that the entrails would to be burned. And I thought, now why would they mention specifically that you burn the entrails? And if you read the text, it includes the liver. Because what were the pagans doing? The pagans were looking at animal livers to divine what the gods were teaching them. And archaeology has found in places like Mesopotamia, where we know Abram came from, a lot of models of livers with omens and magic spells and everything else engraved in them. So the reason these are being burned is God says, not my priests. There's not going to be any magic arts connected with that. So it specifically mentions that all the entrails will to be burned. The third ram is the ram of ordination, or the filling. And again, as I said, ordination means to fill, and it's filling the priest's hands to assume their role now of serving the Lord. After all this is done, it concludes with a fellowship offering. There's another word for fellowship that we're more familiar with because it's the word we use, communion. What are we doing when we are taking communion? We are remembering what Christ has done and the fact that we have been reconciled to God and having communion with him. And again, it included the bread, cake, wafers, and wine that's mentioned in Leviticus. We find out that the holy garments now of the high priest were to be passed on from generation to generation. They weren't to make new garments, which is interesting because if you think about the garments, they weren't sized. They were basically just ponchos and panels and everything so they could fit whoever, but they were passed on from generation to generation. And as the generations go on, the high priest would go through this ordination ceremony and be anointed with oil, but only the high priest, as we had a new high priest until the temple is no longer there in 70 AD. So it wasn't a continual thing, but as each high priest died, because it was for life, it had to be a direct descendant of Aaron. What is the name we associate with Aaron? They were from the tribe of Cohen, so anybody that's a Cohen could be descended from Aaron. That would be the Levites. Yeah, so if you know a Cohen. So we find that after we have all of this about the garments and the consecration and everything else, then we find out it's a 7-day process. And I'll explain that in a minute. But on the 8th day, then everything begins. And we find out that after the consecration period, the high priest then does several offerings daily. He is to offer 2 lambs a day, one in the morning and one in the evening, after he offers the lamb, which incidentally is for the sins of Israel. The second lamb is for the sins of the nations. Then he goes to the basin, and after handling the blood, what does he have to do? He has to wash, and then he goes into the presence of the Lord in the tabernacle, and the first thing he will do was replace the oil in the menorah, because it has to be always burning. It's an eternal light. Then he would go over to the altar of incense and offer up incense to the Lord, which is a pleasing aroma and represents the prayers. And then every Sabbath, what does he do on the table of showbread? He replaces the 12 loaves that represent the nation of Israel, so they are always in the presence of the Lord. Now, because Exodus is just a list of instructions, in Leviticus chapter 8, we actually have the ceremony that they went through. So I would just kind of like to read parts of it to you so that we understand the flow of it more than just the pieces of it. Moses at this point is God's representative. So he's going to act as the priest in the ordination of Aaron and his sons. The first thing he did was call together the whole community of Israel, everybody to come to the entrance at the tent of meeting. Then he washed Aaron and he put on the garments. Then he anointed the tabernacle and everything in it by sprinkling 7 times with the oil to make it holy. Then after the items were holy, he anointed Aaron by pouring the oil over him to show that he was holy to do this work God had called him to. And then he repeated that with his sons. We'll pick up with Leviticus 8, number 14, and I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation because it's easier to understand. Then Moses presented the bull for the sin offering. Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the bull's head, and Moses slaughtered it. Moses took some of the blood with a finger. He put it on the 4 horns of the altar to purify it. He poured the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. Through this process, he made the altar holy by purifying it. Then Moses took all the fat and the internal organs and burned it on the altar, and he took the rest of the bull, including the hide, meat, and dung, and burned it on a fire outside the camp, just as the Lord had commanded him. Then after the bull, Moses presented the ram for the burnt offering. Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the ram's head, and Moses slaughtered it. Then Moses took the ram's blood and splattered against all the sides of the altar. Then he cut the ram into pieces, and he burned the head, some of its pieces, and the fat on the altar. After washing the internal organs and the legs with water, Moses burned the entire ram on the altar as a burnt offering. It was a pleasing aroma, a special gift presented to the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded him. The third sacrifice was the ram of ordination. Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the ram's head, and Moses slaughtered it. Then Moses took some of its blood and applied it to the lobe of Aaron's right ear, the thumb of his right hand, and the big toe of his right foot. Next, Moses presented Aaron's sons and applied some of the blood to their ears, thumbs, and toes, and the rest of the blood he splattered on the altar. Next, Moses took the fat, the internal organs, along with the right thigh, and on top of them placed the cake and the wafer spread with olive oil. All of these were taken from the basket of bread made without yeast that was placed in the Lord's presence. Then he put all these in the hands of Aaron and his sons and lifted these gifts as a special offering to the Lord. Moses then took all of the offerings back from them and burned them on the altar as a burnt offering, as the ordination offering. It was a pleasing aroma, a special gift presented to the Lord. Then Moses took the breast and lifted it up as a special offering to the Lord. This was Moses' portion of the ram of the ordination, just as the Lord had commanded. Next, Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood that was on the altar and sprinkled them on Aaron and his garments, on his sons and their garments. In this way, he made Aaron and his sons and their garments all holy. Then Moses said, boil the remaining meat of the offerings at the tabernacle entrance and eat it there along with the bread that is in the basket of the offering of the ordination. Any meat or bread left over must be burned up. You must not leave the tabernacle entrance for 7 days, for this is when the ordination ceremony will be completed. Everything we have done today was commanded by the Lord in order to purify you, making you right with him. Now stay at the entrance of the tabernacle day and night for 7 days and do everything the Lord requires. If you fail to do this, you will die, for this is what the Lord has commanded. Aaron and his sons did everything the Lord commanded through Moses. I know there was a lot in there, and it's important to remember that this is still future. Where is Moses right now? He's up on Mount Sinai, and what is he doing? He's getting these instructions. So this has not happened yet. These are just all the instructions. But it's interesting. The question came up, did he offer the bull and the ram every day for 7 days? The answer is no. He offered them one day, but they had to stay at the tent meeting for 7 days for the completion of the ordination. And it also said in Leviticus that they had to listen and do everything the Lord said. So I'm not sure if the Lord was speaking to them during these 7 days or whether it was just important that they stay there in obedience for 7 days and nights. But on the eighth day, then they were now ready to resume their position of high priest and priest. We get the final instructions in Exodus 30. Once they were ordained, they take up their duty as priests in the service of the Lord. And again, they would do the sacrifice of the lamb twice a day, 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock. They would also fill the oil of the menorah, offer incense. And then for the first time, it mentions the Day of Atonement. And this is one of the seven feasts of the Lord that haven't been given yet because it doesn't come in until Leviticus, but it seemed appropriate to put it in the text here. Now, the Day of Atonement is the holiest day in all of Israel's calendar. This is the day that the blood of the lamb is taken by the high priest into the Holy of Holies. He only enters the Holy of Holies and sees the Ark of the Covenant one time a year, and that's on the Day of Atonement, only with blood. And he takes the blood of the sacrificial lamb and places it on the mercy seat of God to make atonement for the sins of Israel for that year. Only the high priest is allowed to go in there. Now we understand why there's bells. Because the bells on his garment ring as he goes about his duties. What if the bells stop ringing? He's dead because he didn't come in the way that was prescribed. Just to let you know, there is no indication in any Hebrew writing that this ever happened. If you were a high priest and you were going to go into the Holy of Holies and touch the Ark of the Covenant, you made sure that you did everything because you knew the consequences. Now, there's a lot of talk about they always put a rope around his ankle to pull him out in case he died in there. I really can't find any confirmation. It's tradition that it said, but I don't know if it ever really happened. But we do know God commanded that there be bells, and we know why. So then after mentioning the Day of Atonement, he also mentioned that atonement money must be made for every man 20 years of age and older when they came out of Egypt. It was a half shekel, which is a fifth of an ounce of silver. And the purpose of that was there had to be upkeep of the tabernacle. How are they going to do this? And so that was the way that it was taken care of. Then they mentioned the basin. After offering sacrifices, they had to wash before they went into the tabernacle in the presence of the Lord. We also get the exact recipe for oil and incense. Now we have to think about this. Think back to Joseph. His brothers had thrown him in a cistern, and there was a caravan going by. The caravan were probably spice traders. And this is how they got the spices. They had to come from places like Arabia and India, so they were very, very costly. And this mixture, whatever it was, could only be used in the presence of the Lord. You couldn't make this up and burn it in your own home. These were very special ones that were only used for the Lord. Again, we're mentioned Bezalel. He's the one that would be the artisan that would carry out God's instructions. And it's interesting because his name means in the shadow of God. Bezalel, but it means in the shadow of God. And we also see from the text that the Holy Spirit was put on Bezalel as well. And this was to enable him to carry out God's will of actually making all of these articles, because again, they're just instructions at this point. Then we find after all instructions, there's always the mention that they must keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the sign of the covenant, but it's also more than that. It's an acknowledgement that Elohim is God. God created the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. He was the one that created, not the bull, not the ram, not the goat. It was God, and he is the God of Israel. So by keeping the Sabbath, they are acknowledging not only obedience, but also that he and he alone is God. Well, as I was thinking through, this was a rather difficult lesson. There's not a lot of application that we can come up with. But I did notice something I hadn't seen before. In the worship of the Lord here, all five senses are included. The smell. We have the sweet smell before the Lord mentioned many times, whether it was the burnt offerings or whether it was the incense. The taste. In the fellowship offerings, they shared a meal. Feel, the blood, the atoning sacrifice was put, notice, on the finger. Incidentally, it was put on the horns of the altar. There are four horns on the altar, and this is where the animals were tied up while they were being slaughtered. We also find sight. When they go into the holy place, it is lit up with the eternal light of the menorah. And then they heard the bells as the high priest went about doing his work. Well, for you and I, we're not under this sacrificial system. And so I'd just like to close today by reading Hebrews chapter 10 and what the author of Hebrews is unknown. Some people give credit to Paul. I like to think it was Priscilla. But we don't know who did it. Whoever wrote it knew the Torah. And it says, the old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come. It was not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the bulls of blood and goats to take away sins. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, "You do not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. Look, I have come to do your will." He now cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which never take away sin. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, once and for all. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. For by that one offering he forever made perfect all those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit testifies, "This is the new covenant I will make with my people, and on that day I will put my law in their hearts. I will write them on their minds, and I will never again remember their sins or lawless deeds. And when the sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices." Praise the Lord. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. As John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," doesn't just cover it so you have to do it year after year after year. It's one time, and I'm so thankful for that. So remembering that, where's Moses? He's on Mount Sinai getting instructions. Who's in charge of the people? Aaron and Hur, they're down there. So the people have said, "We will do everything." They've been sealed in blood. The covenant is sealed. Wonder how that's going to go. How long is Moses up on the mountain? 40 days and 40 nights. That's next week's lesson. So let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that you were willing to come to take on human body and to sacrifice yourself so that we do not have to come with the blood of animals on a regular basis. Thank you that you remember our sins no more and that you are the eternal light and that we know our hope is with you for all eternity. We love you, Lord. Pray that you would go with us now through this week and bring us back together next week. In Jesus' name, amen.